How do you do? Have you ever felt as if you didn't fit in with others? Hard to pinpoint the reason, isn't it? As if others have a different operating system from yours, which may be true. The woman in this story felt that way until she discovered her real purpose in life. And that was when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, the award-winning series of true life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Like walking on ice, being homeless is tricky. You never know when you might fall through and need help. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open 24/7 and the light burning in the old lighthouse, there to rescue the perishing. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission shelters hundreds of men, women, and children each day, providing food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Even medical and dental care is given free to resident guests. Desperate people need the great physician. So pastors and counselors share the good news that can transform any life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3203 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Mom?
Linda, where are you?
In jail.
In jail? Where?
Jacksonville, Florida.
What happened, Linda?
We were at the mall handing out tracts when the police came and said we were trespassing on private property.
How can that be?
That's what we said. We didn't leave soon enough to suit them, so we were arrested.
Who's we?
One of our team members was arrested with me. We're in the same cell.
At least you're not alone. Surely they'll let you go soon. I mean, you haven't done anything wrong.
We just tried to share the truth, set people free.
Are you all right, honey?
Yes. It's a horrible feeling to lose your freedom. But some people don't even know what freedom is. At least I know. And I have to tell them.
The woman in our story was barely 20 at this time in her life, but her passion to set others free would lead her to places she'd never been. This is the true testimony of Linda Kropp, right now on Unshackled.
I was the first child born to my parents, and I arrived 3 months early, weighing less than 5 pounds. Dad was a roofer working out of town at the time, and Mom worked at a doctor's office as we grew older. My brother came 2.5 years later, and we fought, as siblings often do. He was a jokester, and I was not, but we all laughed at his jokes. Perhaps being separated from Mom for the first 6 weeks of life led to my serious nature. I always felt as if I didn't fit in anywhere. Our home in a rural part of Decatur, Illinois, was shaken when I was 10.
I have something to tell you, kids. I wish my parents were alive to help with this, but they're not. Your dad and I are separating, but we love you and we'll always take care of you. You'll be staying with your dad's mom this summer, and I'll get you in the fall when school starts. Your grandma's house is too small for squabbles, so I don't want you fighting. I'll get you every other weekend, and we're gonna go to church together. This might not have happened if we'd stayed in church.
Dad remained at our old house, so we saw him often. At the end of summer, my brother and I moved with Mom into a trailer she bought. It was hard leaving familiar things behind. Once again, I didn't fit in. Mom and Dad got back together after a year, and we were a family again. That was wonderful. When I was 13, Mom rededicated her life to the Lord. She talked about Jesus all the time. She rounded up neighborhood kids, and we had a car full every Sunday. I always wished that Dad would go with us, but he rarely did.
Oh, okay, listen up, kids. We sit together and no chewing gum or eating candy or reading anything but the Bible during the service. I want you to sit quietly and listen to the sermon, okay?
Okay.
I'll stop at the store and buy some mints that you can have.
Yeah. I was 14 and a freshman in high school when our church held revival every night for a week. I had felt conviction many times, but I didn't know what to do. On the last night, when the preacher invited anyone who wanted to surrender their lives to Christ to come forward, I stood there, gripping the pew. I felt so unclean, so unworthy of God. A friend who was with me said, "I think you need to go forward," so I did. The evangelist led me to a man who knelt with me.
"Do you admit you're a sinner, Linda?"
"Yes."
"God agrees. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose again from the dead?"
"Yes."
"Jesus said, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Repent of your sin and ask Jesus to save you now.'"
"Jesus, I do repent my sins against you. Please come into my heart and life and save me. I know I am a sinner, and please don't go away." A simple prayer, but when I stood up, my tears became joyous ones. As we drove home, I asked Mom to let me out so I could walk and marvel at what had happened to me. From then on, I knew that I was different on the inside, and I couldn't get enough of God and His Word. My enthusiasm spilled over into school, where I invited all my friends to go to church. Later, a few of them crossed the hallway in the school to avoid me, but in English class, I met Stacy.
"I was just saved too. Isn't it wonderful?"
"I see why Jesus called it being born again. It's like I'm a new person."
"Yeah, me too.
I mean, I really like to read the Bible now."
"Same here. It's really cool." "Well,
sometimes when we sing hymns in church, I cry."
"Really? I thought I was the only one who did that."
"I mean, I never used drugs or things like that, but I always felt unclean and unwanted. I needed to be saved."
"Don't you wonder what God has in store for us?"
"I'd like to be a missionary." That summer, I was convicted about modest dress. I couldn't wear bathing suits anymore because it was a stumbling block to my male friends. I carried my Bible to school and read it with Stacy in study hall. Some of the kids asked questions that we tried to answer, but one of the teachers who taught biology class objected.
"How was school today?"
"Okay. But the biology teacher told me I couldn't bring my Bible to school."
"Since when?"
"He said it was against the law."
"Oh, that's ridiculous. Our country was founded on God's word and the pursuit of religious freedom."
"We had a disagreement about evolution. I told him I believed the Bible account of creation. Well, he didn't like that, so I walked out of class with my Bible."
"You have spunk, Linda, just like your grandpa. Ever since he was saved, all he talks about is the Lord."
"I'll say this for him. He stayed with his last wife since he was saved."
"He had a hard life. Never learned to read and write on the reservation."
"Grandpa's cool. Are you going to service tonight, Mom?"
"Oh, I'm pretty tired, Linda. But I'll take you. I don't want you walking again. 16 miles is a long way."
"I only walked it once because I never had to make a sacrifice to go to church like some people."
"Your mom used to drag you to church, kiddo. Now you drag her."
"I can't get enough of the Lord, Dad." My paternal grandfather was half Sioux Indian who loved his heritage, had fought in World War I, and supported missionaries who ministered at the reservations. Before he was saved, he had divorced my grandma and married three more times. Although he couldn't read, his last wife read the Bible to him, and he memorized scripture. When I was 16, I got my driver's license, and I visited him and was impressed with his Bible memorization. That year also saw a change in my dad.
"Your dad got saved last night? That's wonderful, Linda.
He wasn't even planning to go to church, but he bought a new pair of shoes, and Mom started singing a ditty, how he bought a new pair of shoes to walk down the aisle and give his life to Jesus. We sang that song all the way to church.
And sure enough, he did get saved.
Maybe he'll go to church with us on Sundays now, and not go drinking with those roofing friends of his.
Remember, Linda, your mom told you to be more respectful of your dad.
I'm working on it because God commands it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I didn't date until I was 16, but I was a leader in school activities like student council. When I was 17, a guy I knew had his dad call my mother and ask permission to date me. On our first date, he gave me his class ring, and I was thrilled that he had chosen me. Although Mike went to church with us every Sunday, he wasn't saved and began pulling me away from the Lord.
What do you mean?
All he wants to do is kiss.
Well, yeah. Don't you like that?
Well, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing, Stacy. I don't feel the Lord's presence the way I did before I started dating Mike.
Well, you know your own heart.
He wants to marry me, but I don't think he's the one for me.
Then maybe you should break up with him.
I tried, but he won't take no for an answer. Without even telling me, he calls my parents to say he's picking me up after school and taking me home.
Why don't you tell your mom what's going on?
No. I want to handle it myself. I didn't want to admit to anyone that Mike had slipped a drug into my soda one night. I was furious and told him we were through, but he tried to outwit me. Finally, I refused to see him and didn't date again. Graduation came.
We're proud of you, Linda.
Yeah, I never did finish school.
I didn't realize that I have to go to college to be a missionary.
But we can't afford to send you to college.
I know, Dad. Stacy and I are going to try to get a job at a factory and save money. Then we can go to the junior college in Mattoon.
You know that test I took to see how much I know?
The grade level equivalency test?
Yeah, that one. I scored second year of college. Not bad for a fifth grade dropout. If my parents hadn't gotten divorced, I might have done something with my life.
You raised a family, Kyle, and you're trying to live a Christian life. That's pretty important.
Stacy and I worked at the factory, where I didn't fit in with the other workers. They were nice, but used profane language. One day, an older worker learned that I was planning to be a missionary, and from then on, they were more sensitive towards me. In January 1973, Stacy and I finally loaded our cars and headed off to college. My plan was to go for 2 years, then transfer to a four-year college, but God had a different plan.
We'll hear about that plan shortly. Pointless and hazardous stunts are common these days, but we know a group of people who routinely perform risky missions so the gospel can go forth in places where the Bible is forbidden and the name of Christ is unspoken. Unshackled is bravely translated into Arabic and Farsi and re-dramatized by nationals, then broadcast through the Middle East where people are hungry for truth. From emails and letters we receive through these translators, we know that people are responding to the gospel. A few express indignation that their beliefs have been challenged, but most recognize God's love in the person of Jesus Christ. They relate to the person whose sin-stained life was purified by the Savior and want the same rebirth. To learn more about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Three of us girls shared a place off campus at college, and the first thing we did was find a church home. We were poor, but we finished the first semester. I felt restless and often prayed for guidance. Lord, I feel like there is something I'm supposed to do, but I don't know what it is. Guide me, Father, into your will. I want to follow you and you only. I want more and more of you, Jesus. Summer came and I registered for classes to make up for having missed the fall semester. Then, Stacy made an announcement that sent us all packing for home that night.
Linda! What are you doing here? I thought you were spending the summer at college.
I was, but Stacy's getting married and she's not coming back.
Oh dear. So, where do you go from here?
I don't know, Mom. I feel kind of restless.
The Lord will let you know, and I'll be praying for you.
Thanks. Until then, I better get a job and start saving money. I worked at a downtown department store, and that's how I learned about an evangelistic team that came to town. Stacy and I went to their service every night.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." The prophet Isaiah answered the call of God. What about you? Is God calling you now? And will you obey? Yes. Jesus is the gold standard of obedience. This is what the Bible says about Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Christ suffered and died for your sins so you could have forgiveness and spend eternity in heaven. Yes, sir. Do you hear the voice of the Lord calling you to repentance? Yes. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
That ministry was so unique. And they stayed in town to help disciple those who made a decision to follow Christ. Some of the leaders were former drug addicts. They witnessed on the streets near the store where I worked. I loved their ministry and told Mom about them. Then one morning, I got up for work and Mom had a big breakfast waiting. Wow, this is great, Mom.
Linda, you have been wondering what you're supposed to do with your life. You're supposed to go with that ministry. They emulate all that the scriptures teach. It's perfect for you.
How do you know?
I've been up all night praying, and I know this is what you're supposed to do.
I think you're right, Mom. I've talked with them, and they don't get a salary. They're supported by churches who believe in evangelizing the world. They're like volunteers for God's kingdom.
I know. That's the way it is with missionaries.
What should I do next? They're leaving soon.
Let's go to the bank so you can withdraw your savings and get what you need to go with them.
What a great mother. She released me to serve the Lord. God's timing was in every change of plans, from Stacy's marriage to the arrival of the ministry team. At age 19, I joined the ministry. I had never been more than 100 miles from home and never for more than 2 weeks at a time, but my fears were offset by the deep sense that this was what I was supposed to do. At last, I fit in. I kept close contact with my parents.
How's it going?
Fantastic! It's very organized and they have the high standards of conduct.
I'm glad to hear that.
We live in dorm tents that we set up in each city where we hold meetings.
So the women are separate from the men?
Yes. Married couples live in trailers or family tents.
Well, you're getting to see the country.
I love it, Mom. Every day starts with Bible study, and each team member is part of a smaller group with deacons who look after them.
Do you have chores?
Yes. They post schedules for various duties. Some are in charge of the kitchen. Some have office duty. I do a lot of laundry and babysitting.
Wow.
A couple of weeks, long enough to help new believers, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." T- tent evangelism was a totally new experience for me. We witnessed on the streets, inviting people to the service in a huge tent we set up in each city. We also visited nursing homes, schools, jails, even battleships. We sang and preached at every opportunity that was given to us. Then came my arrest in Jacksonville for passing out tracts at the mall. The woman arrested with me was a team leader, and we prayed together.
Father God, thank you for protecting us here in this place. We know that even this is part of your plan for our lives, and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us safe, Father, and open our eyes to every opportunity to witness to others your great love and grace.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in your perfect time, set us free that we may serve you with our ministry friends. Nevertheless, we want your will, not ours.
That woman still serves the Lord at a woman's prison in Nevada. I worked with the team for nearly a year, then traveled to Europe with a group to set up tent evangelism there. We traveled through Scandinavia, Germany, Austria, France, and finally, Italy, where we served for a year and a half. I loved the Italian believers, so giving of themselves. Although I had to study the language, many of the European team members already spoke two or three languages. From time to time, I called my parents, collect.
Where are you, Linda?
Still in southern Italy. Sicily, but not for long. We're going to India.
India!
A pastor from South India asked if a team of young people could go there and work with him. 24 of us are going.
How will you get there?
We're driving overland through Greece and Turkey.
I'll have to get a map and look that up. See where you're going.
I'm really excited. We'll be evangelizing and helping to run his children's home there.
Oh, wait till I tell your dad. You're getting quite an education, Linda.
It's opened up the world to me, Mom. It's like Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. The Italian Christians helped us fill our bus with coffee, pasta, and other food for the long trip to India. They also helped us financially. As we drove through Greece, we read from the Book of Acts, where many of the recorded events of the epistles took place.
So they were thrown into prison in Thyatira, and verse 25 of chapter 16 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them."
Hey, if I were in prison, I don't think I'd be singing praises to God. I'd be wailing, "Why did you let this happen to me, Lord?"
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Oh, you don't think you'd be afraid?
Yes, I was afraid when I was arrested and locked in a cell. But we prayed and put our trust in God.
Mitch, why don't you read a few verses?
Okay, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed.
God doesn't always work in the way we expect.
No, he doesn't. Who would think he'd defeat our worst enemy, Satan, by sending his own son to die on a cross?
And then raise Jesus from the dead to demonstrate his power over death.
Get used to the unexpected with God.
The unexpected came often from Mitch, and the unexpected would prove true in my life. We drove through Turkey and made a stop for gasoline and fresh fruit. While the men checked the oil and tires, the women stretched their legs in a brief walk.
Ephesus is that direction, too far to visit on this trip. It's where the Church of Ephesus was located.
Oh, I love that book. So many wonderful promises like, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world."
"Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will."
"Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, obtained an inheritance, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise."
Hey, time to go!
That was quick.
We'd better leave before we get a better offer.
Offer for what?
A man offered to buy you two girls. But Brother Tom declined.
Oh.
Now me, I would have haggled for a better price.
Mitch!
Just kidding.
was attracted to Mitch the first time I saw him in Sicily, but he kept me at a distance with his sharp and unexpected comments.
You have to remember, Linda, that Mitch comes from a rough life, a broken family. He was saved at one of our tent revivals. He was living with two girlfriends at the time.
Two girlfriends?
Let him tell you his testimony sometime. He gave up the girls, the smoking and drinking, and joined our team.
Well, he's a good leader, but unpredictable.
I think you two would make a good couple.
What an incredible trip. We all tried a Turkish bath and sold blue jeans in Iran to help pay for gas. This was early 1976, before the Iranian Revolution. After 2 months of travel, we reached India and spent 2 years in the southern part of the country, where I wore the traditional sari and learned to eat native food. I still called home every couple of months.
Where are you, Linda?
Same place.
I sent you a letter. Did you get it?
No.
I sent it a month ago. I wrote on the outside of the envelope to have someone with you when you open the letter.
Why?
Your grandma's in heaven with Jesus.
Grandma died?
Yes, your dad took it pretty hard.
Well, she used to sing hymns to me when I was little. She told me once that she carried me around on a pillow when I was a baby.
You were very tiny.
You don't realize how much someone means to you until you lose them.
No, but we'll see her again in heaven.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a good thing we don't know the future, because more death lay in store for me, challenges that I didn't know how to face. But ours is a faithful God who promises that he will never leave us or forsake us, and a helper came alongside to strengthen and uphold me.
We'll hear the conclusion of Linda's story next week. Until then, listening friend, we hope you have learned about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never trusted him as your Savior, you can do that now, wherever you are. The Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3203. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show, through true stories, that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.